Morning, everybody. How are you today? I trust everything is going well. And, so today is the 5th of January. Wow, we're really getting along, aren't we? Anyway, I want to remind you of a couple things prior to getting started. And that is, let's see, my friend George, I've spoken about him numerous times, and he, my best friend from years gone by, he has the Gate Radio. You can go find it on your internet. It's thegateradio.org, or The Gate is an app you can get at the Google Play or the Apple Store. You can download it. It's free, and it has 24-hour prayer, encouragement, and music and worship. And so you want to be able to get there. To have some fun with that. Also, if you want more information about my ministry, and my ministry is built to encourage hopeless, to encourage people, to build people up, and I'll put up a video about that shortly. But you can get all the information from this. You can go to my YouTube channel and subscribe. You can watch all the videos that I have on there. It's Tom and Sarah. You can go to my podcast, Tom and Sarah. You can also, if you are on Facebook, go ahead and like and share the videos, and we'll get you going, okay? Praise God. Anyway, we're here today, and I want to just talk about, obviously, if you want to give into the ministry, we'll talk a little bit about that later as well. Today, we're going to be dealing with the new birth experience, the being born again, as people have called it, being born from above, as Billy Graham records it or mentions it like that, or mentioned it like that. He's with Jesus right now. He sat with many kings. He sat with many dignitaries, including the Queen of England, the presidents of the United States. I've known him sitting with all the way back to Richard Nixon, maybe before that as well. And he also sat with the Queen of England, probably John F. Kennedy, most likely Lyndon Johnson there as well, maybe even Eisenhower. I don't know. Tremendous man. I remember in January of 1973, I was waiting for a New York Knicks basketball game. And in the basketball game, before the basketball game started, Billy Graham was on, and he was preaching on Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so that's a deal that has to be rendered. You know, without the shedding of Jesus' blood, there's no remission of sins. Remember yesterday we talked about the, the temple. In the temple, Jesus overturned the tables because they were selling oxen, lamb, and doves, which were used for the sacrifice, and they were selling them for exorbitant amounts of money, and that's what Jesus was furious about. You know, I don't think he minded that they were selling, but that they were overcharging and they were giving unto themselves. Okay. So now again, I don't believe John was written in chronological order, but we're in John chapter 3 today. And so we're going to look at this a little bit as we move forward. Praise God. Okay, I'm going to be reading out of the New King James, also the Passion Translation, and we're going to talk about salvation. We're going to talk about this thing about Jesus, okay? So now, I'm going to read out of the Passion here. Now, there was a prominent religious leader among the Jews named Nicodemus. His name means conqueror. He's a very distinguished man. He's a very moral man. He's a very astute man. We see him being in respected among the Jewish religious leaders. I believe personally that he was interested in this man, Jesus. He was interested in, and I believe that he was a man of the word. And so he also knew something about Jesus, this man of miracles. And I'm sure that he wanted to find out. And those of you who've seen The Chosen, I believe they depict him pretty well. Anyway, now there was a prominent religious leader among the Jews named Nicodemus, who was part of the sect called the Pharisees. Now, there's a difference between Pharisees and Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in angels or demons. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in anything after the books of Moses. So when you get to Joshua, all the way through to Malachi, Micah, and all those other people, they did not read those or even accept those. See, they were very sad, you see. But the Pharisees, they accepted the Torah, they accepted the Old Testament, the prophets, the poetry, and they were, I believe, many of them, two in particular, were astute in the word. They were looking forward to the Messiah. Whether they believed it was Jesus or not came later, but they knew that there was a Messiah coming. And they weren't stuck on their religious traditions, but they were really, really hungry. They were hungry for more. And there are many people in religions today that are hungry for the more of God. And Nicodemus here is one of those men who was very hungry. I believe that Gamaliel was very hungry for the word as well. There were, we only know of a few that really hated Jesus, and because Jesus was contradicting their whole tradition. God doesn't love traditions. God doesn't love it. So anyway, let's go continue on here. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. It's not known whether he was part of the Sanhedrin or not, but which was the council, the law council. Well, one night in verse 2, he discreetly came to Jesus and said, "Master, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one performs the miracles you do unless God's power is with him." Now, hear what he says. You are a teacher come from God. Why? How does he know that? Because of the miracle signs that he comes from. No man can do these things unless God is with him. And Jesus said, "Nicodemus, listen to this eternal truth. Before a person can perceive God's kingdom realm, he must first experience a rebirth." This Greek word is translated "born from above." And Nicodemus understood it as being a rebirth. Okay, in the Aramaic, the Aramaic says "born from the origin," or the implication that you must be born again, like Adam was born directly from the breath of God. Nicodemus came seeking knowledge, and Jesus offered him life. Nicodemus came to understand, but Jesus said, "No, you can have life." Now, this rebirth is born from your origin, which means born from God. And how does that happen to you? Well, you surrender. The Bible says that you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll be delivered. You'll be born from above. Okay? He has to, a person, in order to perceive all of this, must first experience a rebirth. You're not going to understand God's kingdom until you understand or come to rebirth. Because the natural man, as Corinthians says, the natural man does not understand the things from above. Okay, a friend of mine is talking to her family about the things of God. They don't believe like she believes in the Lord. They don't believe like she believes. And so what happens is that they ignore what she has to say. They ignore what he has to say because they have tradition, they have religion. Okay, they have the traditions of man, and God is saying, no, you don't need traditions of man here. You have to be. They can't understand it because their natural mind cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit. Remember, Romans says that the Spirit is at war with the flesh. Okay? And it many times the kingdom contradicts people's lives, people's thoughts, people's understanding. God will always mess up your mind and your understanding of the word. He'll always do that because we want to know. In the Western world, we want to know. Now, I've been to some places and, to people who are spiritual, not saved, but spiritual, and they understand the things of the Spirit, and they don't understand logically, but they understand it in their heart. And that's why many people in Africa, many people in Alaska, many people in Hawaii who are not religious but spiritual, they come to an understand, they are more receptive to the things of the Spirit because they're more in that realm. Okay. No, I wish many Pentecostals were very much in the Word more, so that they're not relying on goosebumps, but they're relying on Jesus. Don't worry, I'm going to be getting a picture back there as soon as I can. So Nicodemus said, "Rebirth? How can a gray-haired man be reborn? It's impossible for a man to go into the womb a second time and be reborn." And this is one of the few times I believe Jesus went, many people say, you're bald. You know, if you're bald in the front, it's because you go like this a lot. If you're bald in the back, because people keep hitting you on the back of the head. Well, you can tell that I. Okay, anyway. How can a man be born, go back into the womb and be born a second time? In the New King James, it says that, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, "I'm speaking an eternal truth. I'm not speaking a natural truth. I'm speaking something eternal. Unless you are born of water," that's of the flesh. Okay, this is the water of the Word of God that cleanses and gives life in Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. You are washed with the water of the Word. Okay, James 1:18 and 1 Peter 1:23 talks about that. And this analogy of the water and the Spirit, the creative beginning of God, of Genesis chapter 1, where God's Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. And then the blood, which is the blood of Jesus, you have to be born of water and of the Spirit. Unless you're that way, you will never enter God's kingdom realm. Now, God's kingdom realm is more than just heaven. He says in the New King James, he says, "I tell you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh." Okay? That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I tell you this. You must be born again. Don't be amazed at this. You must be born from above. It's not something that was new. Actually, Jesus is almost telling him, listen, this isn't a new concept. For many of us, it's a new concept. Gosh, I don't know how much to go into here. "For the Spirit wind blows as it chooses. You can hear its sound, but you don't know where it came from or where it's going. So it is within the hearts of those who are spirit born. The Spirit moves you as He wants to move you. You hear His voice. I mean, many people, I've heard many people come to me and they say, I'm feeling this, or and not unsaved. I'm not talking about the born again people. I'm talking about the people who are not saved. They feel this, they hear this, and they're going, my goodness, is this God? You know, that little thing you have in your conscience that says, don't do that. That's the Spirit of God. Okay? The Aramaic is so rich, when you translate it in from Aramaic, it's multi-layered. You can paraphrase it that the wind, the breath, and the spirit are moved by mysterious moods in their own wonderful ways. When you feel their touch, you hear their voices, you know they are real, but you don't understand where they came from. That's how it is with the Spirit. And then Nicodemus replied, but I don't understand. What do you mean? How does this happen? And Jesus says, Nicodemus, aren't you the respected teacher in Israel, and yet you don't understand this revelation? I speak eternal about things I know, things I've seen, and things I've experienced, and still you don't accept what I reveal. I've had many, many situations where I was a witness to something. I saw something. And people, how can these things be, you know? Hey, listen, I'm just telling you what I've seen, what I've experienced. And God uses that as a warning, as a lesson for somebody else. Some of us go through the school of hard knocks. We do. Sorry to say, we do go through the school of hard knocks. However, excuse me. However, you can either accept the revelation, and don't get me wrong, somebody gives you a revelation from the Word, go back to the Word and see if it's so. Bereans were like that. Be a Berean. Now, I mean, I've had many, many experiences in my life where people have doubted me. And I don't care. It's my testimony. I would rather have you believe Jesus. And that's what my life wants to do, is to point you to Jesus. God, Jesus is speaking eternal truths. Many times when I prophesy things in the future that will happen later. I don't know that it's going to happen later, but it happens later. And then people say to me, like the next day, well, it didn't happen. Well, give it time. God, Jesus is speaking eternal things. Now, if you're unable to understand and believe what I've told you about the natural realm, what will you do when I begin to unveil the heavenly realm? No one has risen into the heavenly realm except the Son of Man who exists in heaven. He also exists in heaven. Whoa, what was that? Anyway, turn that off. Okay. Jesus is giving this mystery. While he's ministering on earth, Jesus is also in heaven in the spirit realm. Remember, He is all God and all man at the same time. He is both eternal and finite at the same time. I don't understand it. It's a mystery. But it is. It is so. And it said, no one has risen into the heavenly realm. All right? Being in two places at the same time is also the privilege given to every believer. Remember, the Bible says that you are in heavenly places right now. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places right now. Well, you're in heaven, but you're also on earth. Now, Personally, I do not believe that Christians actually experience death. True believers never experience death. What they experience is the passing from life into life. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, obviously, I've never died, and I know that people go through the pain. Some people are in incredible pain until they pass. But I don't believe, I just believe that, that God takes your spirit up, takes your soul up into heaven prior to your last breath. That's my feeling. This is what it means to be in Christ. You got Ephesians 2:6. You can read these later. Colossians 3:1-5. In the realm of the Spirit, heaven and earth are one. And Jesus is telling that to Nicodemus at the moment. That's why kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven, works. In verse 14, Jesus says, and just as Moses in the desert lifted up the brass replica of the snake on the pole for all the people to see and be healed, so the Son of Man is ready to be lifted up, so that those who truly believe in him will not perish, but be given eternal life. Remember that. Remember the scene. The snakes are biting the Israelites, and Moses puts up this brass serpent. In fact, the medical community today has this thing with the brass serpent as its logo for healing. And this is what the thing is. Now, I don't believe that doctors actually heal people. I believe that Jesus heals people. Doctors have the ability to diagnose your situation. But and they can treat your situation, but it is God who will heal your body. The Son of Man will be lifted up, and those who truly believe in him, okay, those who believe on him or into him. Now, I want to talk about that word on. That word on is actually a linear algebra, a linear algebraic phrase that deals with a one-to-one correspondence. That you have put your full trust in Jesus. Then you will not perish. Now that word perish means to crumble from within, but be given eternal life. This is in our society since the pandemic, the COVID pandemic, what happened is many people have gotten discouraged and in despair, and Jesus, and they're basically crumbling, and suicides have been increased over the last 3 years. Sad. But there, people are perishing because they don't believe on Jesus. They haven't given their life to Jesus. For this is how much God loved the world. And in the New King James, it says, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. And how that should be translated is, and this is how God loves the world. He gave his one and only son. Do you remember Abraham? Abraham, God said, give me your son, your only son. And Abraham was bringing him up to be sacrificed. And then God said, now, and God did not allow him to kill his son. Why that? Well, because God the Father was going to sacrifice his son so that we all can be born from above. And he gave his only son, his unique son, as a gift. He proved his love by giving his son. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. Salvation and your regeneration can only be given to you by faith. Ephesians 2:10, Ephesians 2:8, you can read it. It says that by grace you've been saved through faith. And that is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Even your faith is a gift of God. It's this embracing someone as truth. The union of God and His Word coming into union with you. Jesus explained on the cross, it is finished. It is not that He was done. What He was saying was, the work of the cross is done. I did it. It's complete. There is nothing else you need to do except give your life to Jesus, surrender your life to God, and you will be born from above. In verse 17, God did not send His Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and rescuer. Remember, God didn't come to condemn. It says, if you believe, you are not condemned. There's no longer any condemnation for those who believe in Him. But the unbeliever already lives under condemnation. If you believe, you are not condemned. But if you don't believe, you're condemned already because you do not believe in the name of God's beloved Son. And here is the basis of their judgment. The light of God has now come into the world, but the hearts of the people... Gonna have to turn that off. I don't know what to do here. I turn the media off. I'll fix it later. Anyway, so please forgive me. The light of God is now coming to the world by the hearts of the people. The hearts of the people love their darkness more than the light because they want darkness to conceal their evil. So the wicked hate the light and try to hide from it. For their lives are fully exposed in the light. But those who love the truth will come out into the light and welcome its exposure. For the light will reveal what their fruitful works, that their fruitful works were produced by God. Okay, many people believe that that was John's John putting that in there. But here's the thing. People will... They love the darkness. They don't want to be exposed. I mean, I can get political here, but I'm not gonna. And they don't want to be exposed. The light exposes. The light doesn't shine so you can see the light. The light shines so you can see. And the only thing faster than the speed of light is the speed of darkness leaving the light. Running from the light. It doesn't take much light to break the darkness. So I urge you today, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, today is your day. You need to be born again. You need to be born from above. You need to have Jesus fill your heart, fill your life, and make you, and make you brand new. You need it. I need it. I need Him. If you're feeling that urge in your heart, today is your day. Give your life to Jesus and surrender to Him. Holy Spirit, I thank You for Your great love. Jesus, thank You. Father, thank You. Yes. Praise You, God. God is calling you deeper. He's calling you to come close. He's calling you to enter into His life, enter into His presence. He loves you. He wants you. Won't you surrender to Him today? There's somebody who's going to be watching it. I don't know if you're watching it now, but there's somebody who's going to be watching it that has been crying out for help. I don't know if it's physical or emotional, but I feel like you've been crying, and you know who you are, that you've been crying for help. God's saying, come deeper, come closer. Today is your day, and he's calling you to draw close to him. The Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Today is your day. Today is your day. Thank you for joining me today. If you want to give into this ministry, I do Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, Zelle. You can go ahead and email me, tomandsarahministries@gmail.com, and I can tell you how to do that. You can also, I have a GoFundMe account still up there. I'm looking for transportation. If you want to give into that, feel free to do that. You can see my GoFundMe. Again, if you want my books, I have two books out, From Breakdown to Breakthrough, which is my newest book, and also SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God. You can get those books. If you get them from me, they're $20 as a donation to the ministry. And you can tomandsarahministries@gmail.com, or you can go to Amazon. What's the other ones? Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart. You can get them from there. All right, guys. Well, God bless you. Have a great day. And praise God. We'll talk to you next time.